Hello, hello, hello. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this special episode of El Calentón, a Latinx podcast about current issues, news, culture, música, comida, and political hot takes we call El Calentón. Some episodes will be for all of you and others will be exclusive to our Mi Gente members. So if you're not a Mi Gente member yet, please subscribe today at mijente.net/join. And super happy to be here with my colleagues.
Hola, hola.
What's up, y'all? We're live. We're live. We don't necessarily have a plan, but we have a concept for a plan.
Tenemos el concepto, traemos conceptos a este espacio. Pues, hola a todos. I'm Ali, content creator with Mi Gente desde San Juan, Puerto Rico, el verdadero calentón.
Saludos, Marisa Franco, con Mi Gente. Estoy aquí en La Finiquera con un pinche calorón.
Just went through a heat wave in LA, but it's over.
Yeah. Bueno, pues vamos a lo que vinimos. Yesterday we had the first presidential debate between the nominees que van para la vuelta, que es President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris. Estuvieron ayer en Filadelfia. And even though the microphones were muted, Kamala Harris's team no pudieron ganar esa negociación. The meme-worthy faces, el snarkiness, el no te quiero saludar, were center stage. So with that said, we know that Kamala Harris entered the race just 7 weeks ago, and this debate was a defining moment para su carrera. Many voters are not yet sure where she stands on policy, and many people were maybe not sold on voting for her yet. While President Trump had a tough time staying on topic y diciendo la verdad, and just like he just went in su classic style. And at Mi Gente, we were on the lookout for key topics to be discussed in yesterday's debate, desde la economía, inmigración, housing, abortion, and where the candidates stand on a ceasefire in Palestine. And Vice President Harris doubled down on her position regarding a path to citizenship, todo lo que habló de inmigración, bastante disappointing, lo vamos a discutir aquí. And all this while Trump continued to use a fear-based narrative regarding border and immigrants across the U.S., going as far as saying que los inmigrantes were eating pets. And we have memes para discutir esto también. So we had our own watch party, and we want to share with you all our hot takes, cómo nos sentimos, y vamos a estar discutiendo en este panel. But we also have special guests joining us. Así que te lo paso, Marisa.
Sí, que pasen los panelistas. We brought in some homies to help us like round out what our thoughts were about this. You know, kind of thinking of like that CNN shit where they like 20 people. We don't quite have 20 people, but we're bringing in two people to join us today. So I'll pass it to y'all to introduce yourselves and we'll get into it. Let's go first to the OC.
All right. Hola a todos. My name is Bulmado Vicente, but people call me Boomer. I'm based in Santa Ana, you know, here in California, in El Condado de Orange. My pronouns are he, him, his. I currently serve as the political and policy director for Chispa. You know, we're an organizing home for young Latinxes here in Orange County. And we advance issues related to police accountability, economic justice, and immigrant rights. And so excited to be here with y'all today.
Gracias. Thanks for coming on. Seguimos.
Hi, everyone. This is DJ Sizzle. I'm based in Los Angeles in the Bay Area and kind of just everywhere. I am so honored and happy to be here with you all today. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I've been a community and labor rights organizer for about 8 years, and then I transitioned into cultural music and art organizing as well. You might have seen me pop up at different Mi Gente gatherings, you know, whether it was Lanzate or an amazing party here in LA. We've collaborated with Mi Gente for many, many years, and I am a supporter and a fan of the work Mi Gente and the Mi Gente team does. Excited to break on down this wild debate. It almost feels like, I don't know, it doesn't even feel like real life, girl. Is this like all the fake news, all the things going on? But anyway, I'm excited to get into it with all of y'all. Thank you so much, everyone, for having me.
All right. So we're going to get into, like, they went, you know, topic by topic, but, you know, things like abortion, healthcare, foreign policy, the economy, immigration, but just kind of like just general overall, like, what was your walk away? Like, what were you thinking during the conversation? We'll just open it up and just, yeah, like any initial reactions that you had when you watched the debate last night. And let's just open it up. ¿Quién quiere entrarle?
Well, I think empezando desde el principio, it started off rough. Como I didn't know that they were both going for different approaches de no saludarse y saludarse. So watching her go hasta detrás del podio, like looking for his hand, was interesting. So yo estaba así con los dedos como que, oh my God, this is so awkward.
Yeah, I had this, well, speaking, that was going to be one of mine, is like, I felt like if anybody watching has ever had to navigate a space where you're not sure, like, como I'm trying to get up in a mix that I'm not usually in, or people that look like me are not usually in, and how do I navigate that? Do I play it back? Do I go forward? I thought she played it well. I thought, like, you know, he clearly, you know, they usually meet in the middle. He says saludan, like it's like a duel or some shit. And yeah. His little corner, ahí todo espichadito, but kind of also like as a power move. And yeah, for her to go back there, I think it set some kind of tone. Como, no te tengo miedo, cabrón.
Right.
And what did she tell him? Él le dijo como, se presentó.
Se presentó. Sí. Yeah. I heard her just say her name, but I don't know if she said anything else. And I couldn't tell what he said.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything. No, in terms of como, yeah, no. And one thing I found really interesting was that, like, during the whole debate, he didn't say her name once. Like all he referred to her as is she. And for me, I thought he was really threatened and just kind of didn't want to say her name, which I just felt was pretty wild. Like one thing that my friend said was that he felt like he was watching like a sitcom. And like he didn't think in terms of like, oh, like this is like, is this real? And just I feel like some of the things that they said were just, I don't know, just like out of this world. I was just kind of like, what?
Yeah, and on the treatment of her in general, también we were discussing previously that it was interesting for him to keep saying como que her boss.
Yeah.
Like all the time, es como una macharranería, como un approach de quien te manda, y que también in one moment he was like, yeah, when she has to wake him up at 4 p.m. para get him to sign something, it was all very, nada, mucho machismo, pero era lo que esperábamos ver también.
I hear that fully, and I saw it too. I think as an undocumented person, like even watching it, like my palms were sweaty, not necessarily out of anything other than I was just triggered by even looking at him, right? And just kind of waiting for all these like lies and like crazy things that just come out of this man's mouth. But more than anything, also, you know, acknowledging in the ways that misogyny really took front and center, you know, in a lot of conversations, which was really wild to me. And like, it was eerily similar to, you know, 2016, when he was trying to come up and, you know, do his own things, or when he goes out to do speeches on his own, like, it's very matter of fact, right? Like, everybody knows it. I'm like, sir, who is everybody? Who are you talking about? Who are these? All the people know. I want to know who all these people are, right? But I, you know, it was really cool to see her also just hold her own, right? I'm not going to sit here and be like, I endorse XYZ, right? But as a woman, right, to be able to not like cower or quibble under like such immense pressure was really awesome to see. Because you know, there's so many people watching and there's so many people just waiting to nitpick at everything. So just from a feminist perspective, it was really cool just to see her hold her own, even with the constant misogynistic micro and macro attacks to her and her character.
Yeah. Or that moment where she had to step in and say, you're not running against Biden, you're running against me. You know,
yeah.
That was a really like really important moment in the debate.
Yeah, that was what you call slow pitch over home plate. And she's initial takes. But then, you know, what was anything that was like surprising in terms of what was said, what was talked about, like what wild stuff or just general positions or things that they disclosed that were surprising or first time hearing for either of you, any of y'all?
I think a mí me sorprende un poco. Todavía, ¿verdad? How she's playing the prosecutor thing, I feel like es como una crítica hacia ella. I know that, ¿verdad? Que ese es su historial y tal, but I fear that she's like going too into that, como que, and I think that's a very hurtful narrative, como este idolatramiento de the cop versus the felon. I think it doesn't hurt Donald Trump because he's a white, rich man. But like establecer esa narrativa as like, yeah, como que encarcélalo, como yes, oh, you're such a cop. Es como, es problemático para mí. And like seeing how she doubled down on that, not necessarily como me sorprendió, but I thought maybe she would like go away a little bit from that since the DNC, su speech fue bastante militarmente cargado, bastante policing en su... en la manera en la que lo habló de como si fuera algo super positivo que ella trae, pues kind of surprising, disappointing.
Yeah, or even that moment where you know, one of the what's her name, Lindsay Davis, I think it was, it's her name, that was, she was like, hey, you know, like you keep saying that you haven't changed your values, but you've changed on like some of your policy stances, right? Like on the fracking, on like the criminal justice. And she kind of just like doubled down. And I was like, right, like I think I kept reading or listening to the Humpcast leading up to the debate where like people were saying like, this is a good opportunity for her. Cause people keep saying, voters keep saying like, really, we really don't know much of her. And I think for her to just like double down on this, like kind of like harsh stances, and going back on some other stances to me was like, oh, like such a like, como moment, I don't know if it's like betrayal, pero como moment de chin, da cabrón, no? Like she like, again, pandering to the centrist, you know, ways that like the Republicans and other folks talk about our communities and our issues. So como que sí, como que fue un chingadazo que dolió, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing I definitely, and you know, I want to, just like second that, like I feel like she was definitely like catering to the moderate. She talked about being a gun owner, which I found was like really surprising. You know, she talked about the great John McCain, you know, she praised the great John McCain. She doubled down on her love for Israel. And so I felt like she was definitely catering to that sort of audience, like the moderate voters, and kind of just letting people know that, hey, like I'm not as like liberal as people think I am.
Right.
Like I have these views that cater to like the swing states, for example, that they're trying to win. And so I felt like during the whole time, she was just kind of, I was mentioning like doubling down on her claims. And it's very different than what she ran on in 2020. And like, just like the vast difference, and also just like, was really uncomfortable in terms of some of the claims that she's been making.
Yeah, interestingly, también, like, she was doing that, pero a la vez, she was doing a lot of personal story. Como, I come from a, like, working family, porque I remember, I think the first point was the economy, and she talked about, like, giving the biggest child tax credit. Creo que había dicho que iba a ser de $6,000. And she was just like talking about how, como posicionándose como parte de la clase trabajadora, that she understands us, that she was like us. And I feel like es interesante that she, que tiene todas esas posturas, como lo que estaba diciendo Bulmaro ahora, but she was like kind of como, déjame tirar como unos sprinkles de, I'm still relatable, I'm still like you. And I feel like more than anything is to make distance between her and Donald Trump, como she did that, como I'm working class, he's corporate. Pero pues, realmente creo que los dos están ahí medio alineados.
Yeah, just to kind of piggyback again on like what you are saying, right? I think one of the points in the debate where I really appreciate that the moderators asked about, her stance on Palestine and how, you know, in the beginning she brought it up. She's like, hey, you know, in the beginning you said Israel had a right to defend themselves against the attacks of, you know, that happened in October, right? So I thought it was really interesting for her to still kind of like take, you know, not necessarily take such a solid stance on that. But I'm really glad that the moderators brought it up with, you know, the toll that the amount of deaths, unfortunately, that have been caused by, you know, Israel and its attacks to Palestine. So I'm just curious to see how this will continue to develop as she continues to, you know, just kind of push for her campaign and how this is ultimately going to like affect her and her basically just a campaign, right, around these issues, especially as you're trying to also like, you know, plead to the more like liberal, to the more, you know, proactive, you know, side of our, you know, demographic. So I'm interested to see how these, you know, her stances are either going to continue to change or double down or just kind of, you know, be kind of on the fence about it.
Yeah.
I felt like, I was surprised that, I guess my surprise was how easy it was to bait Trump. It was just like at the end of every statement, they were asking her some, one thing, just by show of like thumbs up, thumbs down, like más o menos, what did y'all think of the moderators? You think they were good? They were like, I thought they were solid. Okay, just curious. But she just, the thing coming to, like, I thought he was winning the first few minutes, that yeah. She kind of stumbled coming out the block on the economy.
I've been nervous at the beginning.
Yeah, she seemed nervous, and he kind of, the two angles que le puede dar duro is economy and immigration. And her first answer como que no responde la pregunta, but you know, Trump, maybe I shouldn't be surprised, but he is really, size matters for Donald J. Trump. The one time she just brought up the crowd size, like he just kind of lost his
way. Yeah.
So, you know, and I do think there's a part where, oh, and here we go. We got it. So thank you, Paulina.
Hey, Paul.
We tried.
Invite folks to that are following to throw your perspective, your opinions, your hot takes in the chat. But in a lot of ways, you know, she had the bar she had to clear is, does she seem presidential? Can she share the stage and can she kind of hold her own? And basically the fight now is who gets to define her. And, you know, Trump seemed like he was prepped to do that, but did not execute in the end because he thought it was more important to talk about dogs and cats being abducted and eaten by Haitian migrants in a city of Springfield and not kind of go at her because it was actually openings on some of her answers because she wasn't totally specific. She wasn't totally, you know, and I think it's just to say, she is trying, like, this election will be determined in probably 5 states, probably, what, less than 200,000 votes. And those are all people that are undecided that are, you know, would be considered possibly moderates. And so she is trying to, she had a persuasive message that, you know, definitely wasn't persuasive probably for maybe folks in our neck of the woods. Just going on and just want to invite folks to throw down in the chat if you're following along. For you all, as you're watching this election, you're following it, what are the issues that matter to you or folks in your community? And what did you, just to kind of delve and kind of start wading into the waters of the actual topics of policy that got into, that they got into last night, and kind of starting from a place of like, what matters to you? What issue are you listening for? And how did they represent it? Like, how, what did you hear? What did you like? What did you not like in terms of what you care about? No. We'll get started. Let's go, Jorge, if you want to kick us off. And then we'll just, quien le quiere entrar.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, definitely like immigration, and I think we're going to get into it, right? Even there, doubling down, right, and saying that she supported the Senate immigration bill that to a lot of us in the immigrant rights movement, right, is horrible. And we don't want that bill, right? And it's all about criminalizing immigrants, right? More resources for Border Patrol and technology at the border, right? That it's only hurtful to our folks. And so I wasn't expecting much, but she didn't even like stand up on values for immigrants, right? Like when he was saying all this wild stuff on immigrants, like she didn't even say anything remotely humanely.
She was kind of laughing though. She was kind of like, you're nuts. That's
But even for her to say like, actually immigrants like make this country more, you know, diverse and powerful, whatever, right? But nada, no le salió nada. And then I think to me, the other one was like the economy, right? Like we know that our, like in California, life is too damn high right now, groceries, rent, gas, and there was nothing on her. Like she kept falling on these like cliche, almost cheesy stories and like phrases, right? Of like, let's move forward, let's not go back to the past, but not really answering the question of like, what is, right? What is your economy plan look like for working class people? She probably said working class people once in the whole debate, right? Yeah. And so it's like, to me, it's like, that's like what's really important to me. Like, how are we gonna make life better for working class families across the country?
Yeah. I mean, definitivo, for me, I didn't have any expectations. Nunca la tengo with when we're talking about like presidential candidates in the US, pero it's always very surprising, like the amount of efecto e impacto that the US election has on Puerto Rico. And like, we're never mentioned. We were not mentioned neither in the RNC or in the DNC. We had our little kiosquito where like, la peor gente en la política de Puerto Rico were both there. And we cast votes, and we're gonna have like a pledge election here in November, which is just a symbolic election. But yeah, like it's very surprising that the US nos tiene todavía como una de las colonias más viejas del mundo. Like it's not even considered as part of their platforms, su programa de gobierno. It's absolutely not there. So yeah, I would say that. And I think another thing that was important that I'm looking out is como like how we can protect, no proteger, pero like be mindful and demure. About the discourse, because lo mismo que está diciendo Jorge about like cómo se están deshumanizando personas a través de temas particulares. Like when we're talking about immigration, when we're talking about economy, when we're talking about abortion, I feel like she did a good job in reminding him specifically in abortion that there are people who are being affected, como que no es policy that exists in a vacuum. Hay gente with individual stories that are being traumatized by estas legislaciones. So me faltó más de esta defensa al individuo y la historia de las personas con el tema de inmigración, because like el discurso se está yendo a un nivel de deshumanización that we're not seeing like the people who are being affected by these issues.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in your points, you also brought up, right, how some of these two are interconnected, right? I know for me, just hearing him speak about how, you know, women have babies and they have the option to execute them after they are born. Like, that is so wild to say on national television for everybody to see. And again, just to remind folks, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but this comes from the man who brutally and heartlessly caged children. You know what I mean? A lot of these children were ripped away from their families, were ripped away from their mothers. were just lost in the system, and they still have not been brought back together with their families. And I think a lot of people forget that, right? And how are we going to really just let someone say and talk about, you know, I care for the children, I care for the unborn children, when your track record has shown, sir, that is a lie, right? So I think there's a lot of things that have been said. It is one of those things where I'm just like, you know, a lot of these issues and a lot of these points are so interconnected, right? And I really hope that people are able to also just kind of read between the lines and like reflect a little bit on, you know, what the past administration did, because it was nothing but chaos.
And just to shout out Grace on the chat, that Harris could have just called out how dehumanizing he was being in his language. And even that would have shown some level of care to immigrant communities listening to this debate. So we heard it. We kind of got a little bit into immigration. So let's just dive in. You know, Trump's policies around mass deportations. And so the moderator asked him, are you going to go door to door? How are you going to do this, bro? And he really didn't necessarily have an answer. Did y'all hear an answer in terms of what's the how to for mass deportations now?
No. He had a concept of a plan.
Yes, save the pets. Save the pets, Springfield. And then Harris continues to use this border bill, the border security bill that has been named, that we've talked about, that many people have seen and said that this is not a good. It's a failed strategy that has not worked. We're nearing 40 years since a congressional legislation that provides a pathway of legalization for immigrants in this country, and they continue to beat the same horse around enforcement. Anything else that y'all heard in terms of either of the candidates' plans or approach towards immigration? If not, I want to read you a tweet, and I want to have y'all react to it.
Please.
Just please. I don't know what y'all. This is from a compa that Evan Weber, who was part of Sunrise, and its ascension, you know, the Green New Deal and moving that campaign and really winning a lot of different victories around climate justice. So he put, for the climate movement organizers upset, listen, care about, I mean, y'all are going to have to all respond to this. It's a few tweets. Who are upset about the moments that VP Harris accepted the opposition's frame and backtrack, I'd suggest getting together with people you trust, analyzing what power structures are in place that incentivized her to do that, and make a plan to weaken them. That's what me and friends did in 16 when we were disappointed with Obama's policies and Clinton's campaign. Blah, blah, blah. I won't go into all what he said after that. And then he continues, when liberals say don't boo, vote, I think that's pretty fucking lame. But don't boo, analyze, strategize, and organize is advice I'd give to anyone on issues from immigration to Gaza to housing. We've gained a lot of ground, but we've got a world to win. Change is possible. In 16, if I told someone Obama's conservative vice president would usher in trillions of dollars of clean energy and environmental justice investments with the revived labor movement standing with climate activists, I'd have been laughed out of the room. Don't give up or the cynics win. What's your reaction to this when you think about the question of immigration and where we are right now?
Bueno, a mí lo que me hace pensar en eso es la frase que decimos acá en Puerto Rico, como que no podemos tirar la toalla, como que no podemos entregar todo. Y esta persona nos ha decepcionado tanto en el clima como en muchísimas cosas, pero no podemos entregarle el espacio ni cederlo, porque realmente these politicians no son quienes construyen ese poder, somos entre nosotros mismos, así que como siempre también decimos en mi gente, this election is about us. Aquellos son nuestra, ¿verdad? Nuestro terreno donde vamos a construir. Pero sí, no podemos tirar la toalla.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I mean, hearing just how dehumanizing, you know, like they were talking about immigrants, to me just also was like a realization that I think many of us have had of where we're at as an immigrant rights movement. Like, no, there's no response. There is no organizing happening to push back. We're just como que nos estamos como piñata, nos estamos dejando las madrazos left and right. And we have to figure it out. Like, we are weak as an immigrant rights movement in this moment. So what needs to happen is probably that, right? Who are the people who are like thinking and asking these questions to be like, ¿y qué chingados vamos a hacer? Right? Like, we can't let this happen anymore porque vamos de mal en peor and it's not looking good for our folks. And so something needs to happen.
Yeah. Like, I feel like one thing I've been seeing is the reframing of the issue around immigration has focused more on like border security. And so it's a lot focused on like, you know, how are we like protecting the border? How are we building the wall? And during even the debate, like Kamala was really prideful in how she increased the number of border agents. Right. And just like not also like pushing back around this dehumanizing language that we're seeing from Trump. And like that silence like fuels that narrative and it doesn't help in terms of like the immigrant rights movement. So yeah, I just was just like really, really disappointed around the whole topic around immigration, because even from the start, like even when Trump first responded to his question around the economy, like his first thing was like blaming the immigrants, like blaming the millions of immigrants that came into this country. So like that was like the center of conversation since the beginning when he first brought that up.
Yeah. I think what this tweet, sorry, Marisa, also brings up to me, right, is about how, you know, we're looking at these like issues separately instead of seeing where they interconnect, right? Whether it's environmental justice, whether it's, you know, immigration, whether it is, whether it is immigration or I'm so sorry, I lost my train of thought. Give me just a second. Whether it's immigration or even, right, like the over policing and overuse of police, right? The moment where they brought it up and I think it was in relation to Trump where, you know, they said something along the lines of like, yeah, I'm not afraid to.
Oh, no. Cosas que pasan cuando estamos en vivo, señoras y señores.
Y cuando está caliente la cosa.
Un apagón.
espero que Luma no haya llegado allá.
Bueno, let's keep moving and then we'll let her finish her statement. If she can jump back in. Let's jump to abortion. This has obviously been a huge issue. It came in pretty early in the debate. ¿Qué pensaron, qué escucharon on this particular issue last night?
I think que Harris lo manejó muy bien por lo que dijo ahorita. I think like narrating real stories on what has been the effect of these de estas políticas en distintos estados, because it's very easy to say como que dejen que los estados decidan and like just like forget about it and forget cuál son las consecuencias directas. Por ejemplo, ahora mismo en Puerto Rico we're having a discussion on how many women are coming from the US to Puerto Rico to have abortions, and it's becoming like an issue here, and that happened already in the 60s and in the 70s, pero eso está pasando otra vez como una consecuencia directa de todo lo que está pasando en Estados Unidos. So I think that Harris did a good job on explaining that. And basically también de hablar del rape or incest, porque siempre se habla around abortion, like irresponsabilidad de la mujer that just wants to kill a baby, y como que es una decisión caprichosa. Pero hay unos layers de violencia estructural, de violencia de género, que generan estas condiciones. Así que I think that was a good job on her part. I appreciated a lot the fact check from the moderator on that. Yeah, you can't fucking execute a baby. It's not pasando. But that's the rhetoric that has got us here. Como esa exageración de la violencia y de just like make women these beings that are evil and can't decide for themselves. So they need help and they need legislation, estado, estado. And also like el tema de IVF, voy a como que terminar mi turno to hear y'all, but I think it's very important también que lo hayan traído.
Yeah, I mean, yes, I think it was probably her, one of her strongest moments in the whole debate last night. I think she was really good at like pointing out how he's been really hurtful and dangerous to, you know, to folks who need abortions and want abortions, right? She's like, you say you were going to override, you know, Roe versus Wade. You appointed three judges. That's exactly what you did. And the list continues. So I think it was really, really strong. And she looked really powerful.
Yeah, I definitely think that was her strongest area. And I think for me, one thing that was really wild was like Trump's word choice. Like he talked about like executing babies. And just like that, and I feel like he used that word intentionally for like news bites for people to like right. Fox News and all these conservative newspapers and news media just to like highlight that. But I definitely think that Kamala did really well in this debate or in this kind of issue.
Yeah, and he also como que he distances himself from stuff cuando el cuarto se le llena de agua. Because when they were asking specifically about IVF, o también that J.D. Vance recently said that he would definitely, como la pregunta que le hicieron del national abortion ban, ahí se empieza como a distanciar. He was like, no, I'm pro IVF, which is fertilization. Como right. Que he kept saying that. Mm-hmm. So with Trump, it's hard. And we were talking about this earlier because he goes back and forth so many times. So holding him accountable to his su postura or the effect that his policy or his way of speaking tiene alrededor de la nación y en Puerto Rico también, it's hard because it goes back and forth. Y cuando hay algo que he kind of like understands that is wrong, se echa para atrás. I think we had a comment.
I also want to highlight.
Oh, sorry. Yes, we have a comment from Luz, a familia, that, yeah, totally. They're not just women need abortion, right? We also need to protect the rights of folks who need gender-affirming care. So thanks for pointing that out, Luz.
Yeah, definitely. Y eso va con lo que estaba diciendo DJ Sizzle ahorita, de el interconnection de todas estas luchas, ¿verdad? Porque when we're talking about abortion care, también estamos hablando de los derechos de la comunidad queer, que también me hace pensar en Project 2025, que es otro ejemplo of how people, what was he, oh, he said he didn't even read it, como que fue lo que dijo él.
Yeah, that was the point I was going to make, because what you're saying, que como que ya la cosa se pone seria, and he's like, oh, no, I don't know what that is, I'm not up for that. And I honestly, I would say, I'm not sure that Trump is actually, holds some of these positions that are in the plan. But it's like I'm watching the Rings of Power right now.
Oh, I love that show.
And the rings. And it's like, yo te doy algo. And so like part of the thing to me is like that's concerning about the Trump candidacy and the prospect of a Trump re-election is that it's not just Trump. He has it is like a pathological desire for power and attention and fame. And like, yo soy el más chingón. And you saw him repeatedly punch himself in the face last night in the quest for that. But it's actually the people that are now que se han cercado to him. And it's like, yeah, he probably has not read Project 2025, but the people that are his like closest advisors and that will be staffing and running that day-to-day operation, because he is not checking to see if the copy machine works. He is not that kind of, he don't run a tight ship like that. And so the people that are, you know, do have some of those positions. And so I think it's an important thing to continue to like raise. It's like some of that is true that he doesn't know, but the last time that he was in office, I think he passed close to 80% of the policies that were pushed by the Heritage Foundation, which is kind of the epicenter of where this project comes from. As we kind of like close out a little bit here, any other, I mean, economy was an issue that was raised. And then just other issues that I would broadly talk about is like economic justice, questions of healthcare, housing. Are there other things that y'all want to highlight in terms of what was named that caught your attention?
I think definitely communism in Venezuela, because we're having the same issue here in Puerto Rico in this election cycle, like bringing este discurso del miedo around that Kamala Harris has a communist dad, a Marxist dad, professor, como trying to pin her as a communist cuando sabemos todos que es una capitalista y que no tiene Venezuela absolutamente nada que ver with her, con su plataforma. But it's interesting seeing these parallels, como la derecha se estructura to bring este discurso del miedo to make people fear política pública que puede beneficiar a la clase trabajadora, hablando de comunismo donde no lo hay y trayendo a Venezuela donde no toca.
Oh, I thought they just said something.
Bring all the, we definitely need to see some of them, like Marx's daddy memes. Yeah.
Marx's daddy.
Hashtag Marx's daddy.
¿Qué más?
I think for me, one thing I was also paying attention to was a conversation around like healthcare. And I realized that there wasn't really any like sort of substance to the question or like both of their responses. It sounded like Trump just didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. And I feel like when it comes to Kamala, I feel like she did mention, you know, like some things about, you know, around private insurance, but I would have liked to see kind of, as folks mentioned in the comments, like, you know, just like access to LGBTQ healthcare. Like, I don't think I actually heard LGBTQ once during this debate. And so
operations in jail.
In jail.
Yeah. And so I feel like for me, something I was just kind of like looking out for was like conversation around like healthcare. And I was also just really surprised that there wasn't any conversation around gun violence, especially around just what just happened in Apalache High School, like last week with the school shooting. There wasn't any acknowledgement about that. And I found it really uncomfortable how like the only conversation around that was just them being gun owners. And it just felt just really wrong at the time. But yeah, I mean, those were some of my like initial thoughts. And then they only said Latino once. Oh, that I clocked.
Hola.
You're back.
Welcome back.
How are y'all? Yeah, I think the conversation got too heated. I got too heated. Estamos en el calentón.
We were just kind of rounding out any other issues that we heard about that we wanted to highlight in terms of what was said and the positions that they took.
I think the climate change one was really interesting because she was, you know, she would talk about like green energy or new energy, but then she would like, no, but we're like, but we're still going to give more permits for fracking and we're going to open up more automobile plants, you know, kind of contradictory. Like it felt like she was all over the place on that one. Yeah. And I didn't hear anything on education, you know, I didn't really hear anything around like her platform and like Black communities or Latino communities or LGBT communities, como nada, you know, silent.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, as we keep moving through this crazy 2024 like campaign, I'm also just thinking, right, of like the term that gets thrown around, right? Voting for the lesser of the two evils, right? Like there's this notion of like, yes, we don't want, you know, another term with Trump, but within that same breath, it's like, well, how are we also going to vote for a leader that doesn't necessarily take such a strong stance on these issues that are directly affecting marginalized Black, Brown, Indigenous people of color? Right. But how are we also going to like navigate, right, all of these issues that continue to, you know, be brought up to them. Right. So I think for more than anything for me, I'm continuously just going to stay invested and interested in seeing how people are going to their respective campaigns are going to try to move with said communities, right? So I think, you know, before I got cut off, right, like I was just kind of nearing towards the fact of like, there's a lot of these issues and problems that all have overlapping and intersecting points. And it's going to be up to us, the people, the organizers, right, to continue to push and move and don't accept, you know, bones as a feast, right? And this is for any politician, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the things that continue to just kind of be in my immigrant brain too. Like, I'm not chanting victory until all of us are free, right? So it's something that is going to be very interesting as this election year plays out. And I don't think either of the candidates are exempt for criticism. So I am grateful for these conversations that we're having because, you know, it's important for all of us to continue to bring these issues to the forefront, whether it's in organizing spaces, music spaces, right? And just door to door with our regular, like, how are we showing up with our friends, family, and having these discussions, right? Because it's not just black and white.
Thank you. That's a full circle there. So just as we close out here, I'm curious, just a quick hot take. Who do you think won this debate and why? And we'll just go each one of us and then I'll close this out and we'll pass on to the next segment.
I would say Harris won because I think she was able to really make this contrast of like, we're not going back. We're not going back to the past. I'm charting a new path forward. And I think she kept coming back to that message. And I think it might've given folks some hope or like algo nuevo está por venir, quote unquote, you know? And so I think she won.
Sí, yo diría también Harris definitely won. Mucho más preparada. Actually had a plan, not a concept of a plan. Hay que ver ahora cuál es la ejecutoria y si puede apretar en los temas que importan.
I would say the moderators won. I'm just kidding. I mean, I feel like Kamala, you know, really made herself different from Trump, and I got to give her for how she baited him, and just like how he just like took the bait como un perro, like just snack right there. And so yeah, I mean, but like DJ Sizzle said, you know, like the work doesn't end here, and I think, you know, under her administration, it really provides the most opportunity for us to really create changes for our communities. And so I do want to just acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same. You know, I definitely think Harris held her own. And additionally, you know, my thoughts around just his rebuttals and stuff, it almost seemed like, you know, when you tell a kid, no, you can't do it because of X, Y, and Z. Right. And the kid comes back to you and be like, well, your shoes are ugly. How about that? Right. I'm like, who let this, you know, man child up in here, you know, just to try and debate with a vice president. Right. So it's one of those things that like the distinction in preparation, formality and, you know, just overall polishness was with Harris versus Trump.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, to me, I think the task for the task right now is the race to define Vice President Harris. And in that vein, I think she defined, Trump failed to define her, and she definitely won the debate. And I think if, you know, if anybody that's like looking like with a critical eye, it was really clear because he's, you know, if there was any execution of babies, it was a 78-year-old one that was on the stage. just to kind of, you know, round this out in terms of just like, what does this mean for folks that are following and listening to stuff that's not your jam, that does not speak to your values, that does not speak to your reality. And we're not undecided voters or moderates or people, you know, that are la gente de conciencia that are actively involved in social movement, playing different roles in different places, in different regions, and different issues. You know, I think it just remains important to state that there is a coalition that has formed in this election, similar to 2020. And the basis of unity of that coalition is what we are against, which is broadly a second Trump administration. We may all have different reasons as to why we do not want that, but that is what this coalition's unity, it's not defined by what we're for. It's defined by what we're against. And so hay que tener bien claro that the day after election, the fracturing of that coalition will take place. And so partly sometimes with us, with our crews, with our gente, es como hay que entender dónde estamos en el juego. And so right now, what she is doing, for good, bad, or ugly, I think their assessment is that for the most part, people who generally get it understand the choice. And so some of us will choose not to vote, but most, you know, probably a lot of people will be like, pues yo entiendo the choices between these two, y los que pueden votar y los que quieren votar van a hacerlo. But, you know, where we are, is it, like I said at some point, is that it's probably like several hundred thousand voters across 5 or 6 states mm-hmm. that are being vied for. And so it is, and yes, there is an effort to mobilize. I would argue that the Trump campaign is probably stronger at that right now, maybe. But this is, she fundamentally came into this debate with a strategy to persuade. Mm-hmm. And so we could get mad at her for that. And we should be mad. Fuck that. But it's kind of like saying, I'm mad at DJ Sizzle because she played Volver, Volver at the end of the night. Well, that's kind of what you play sometimes. Or I'm mad because my favorite team, my basketball team, now I'm going to wrap with the sports metaphors. I'm sorry, Jorge. But like my sports team or my favorite boxer, it's a 12th round. It's a fourth quarter. We're up. We know we're up in points. So I'm not going to go balls to the wall. Like there's 50 some days left in the election. It's going to come down to several hundred thousand voters in some random ass counties that probably none of us ever fucking been to. And they're trying to convince them to go with her. So motherfucker, she's saying, I own a gun. I fucking do this. I do that. I do. Will they believe her? Who the fuck knows? I don't quite believe her. But that's kind of where we are. And so we can have feels about that. We can have feels about that. But we need to be clear eyed about what time it is. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. you either join the coalition or not. That's your business. I would argue, and my challenge would be, if you're not, then what come with some goodness about what happens in January? Because best believe the people of the coalition that want to make sure that it stays moderate and our opponents who are at the far right are very prepared. And so if we don't like it, then I think that the task at hand is, what is the play in 2025? And for those of us that are engaging in this election, I do think this is a signal as we enter into further waves of demographic change in this country. We also have to acknowledge that the people who will defend neoliberalism, the people who will defend capital, the people who will defend the status quo increasingly will look like us and talk like us and will navigate fucked up situations that we have to navigate. And so for those of us that are straddling that contradiction, mm-hmm. you know, come into the party, but don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Bam, 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 bam.
People drink the Kool-Aid.
Mira,
I'm going to pass it to you because now we're just like pinche carrilla because there was some funny shit in this debate. So te lo paso a ti, Ale.
Vamos a ver meme porque como estábamos diciendo al principio, hay que reír para no llorar. Y I think this election, en retrospectiva, vamos a estudiarla because it's definitely a meme-worthy election. El ratification de toda esta situación. We need to analyze it. Así que, first up, nos comparte en Facebook AI flop. Nos comparte, what's going on, man? Okay, this is Donald Trump Jr. ¿Esta es la cuenta real de esta persona?
I think so, right? No?
Check, pero ya tienes que pagar por eso.
En verdad, nothing, nada me sorprende de esta gente. So, vamos a hacer una escalita de votación del 1 al 10. ¿Cuán bueno está este meme? 10 siendo el mejor.
6.
6, yo voy a ganar. 5, dice DJ Sizzle. Bulmaro, ¿qué tú le das?
7.
Jorge.
Same, 7, 8.
Dale, yo me voy quedo con un 6 también. No le exploto tanto. Oh, my God. Oh my God. Oye, ¿y ustedes creen que el endoso de Taylor Swift aguantando un gato era como también un temita de eso? Después lo podemos hablar.
Listen, okay. I am not a Swiftie or anything, but, you know, I do appreciate that, like, you know, just bluntness. And I do think that celebrities and celebrity culture, right, it's hard for a lot of them to come out and publicly endorse somebody. But I will give her credit. I'm not a fan, as I mentioned, right? Don't come for me, Swifties. But also, you know, give credit where credit is due. She stood on business and she said her thing equals, you know, it's the least she could do, honestly.
Muy bien. Tampoco somos Swifties aquí. No te va a pasar nada. Okay. Third, Kat's getting 8, except for mine.
Listen. <Okay. laughs> Eating kitty, but it's not the real Kat, okay?
Okay, yo le doy a este 8.
Sí, 8.
Marisa. Tiene 8. Ok, Bulmaro.
8.
8, Sizzle.
Chen, chen, chen.
Pues, bueno, estamos mejorando. Hasta la próxima. From neck pussy is crazy tonight.
Oh, my God.
Como dijera nuestra compa Cynthia, I'm so dead.
Oh, my God.
De verdad, este es mi favorito de esta noche. So, I'm going to give it a 10.
Yes, it's 10. 10, 10, 10. 10 across the board.
Pásala próxima. He literally thinks asylum seekers are people from insane asylums. Oh my God, yes. Yo no me había dado cuenta de eso hasta que lo escuché hablando anoche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also like that person's handle. Swolecialist.
Swolecialist.
Okay, próximo. Trump is sounding like a Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
She goes on like weird rants at weird times. I can't. Like, a peleando solas veces.
Trump is just Joe Biden so much. Bendito. He couldn't stop talking about him.
Right.
Okay, mencionó a Biden que, bueno, ni mencionó el nombre de Harris, so.
Giving obsessed. Yeah.
Very sad. Very sad.
The radical left supports Kamala. The radical left. Los marxistas anoche estaban como que don't mention me. Don't mention me porque no tengo nada que ver con
this.
Oh my God, it's 10.
Bueno, hasta aquí llegamos, ¿verdad? Con nuestros memes. Así que gracias a nuestro departamento de memes. Thank you to our meme department for working hard and finding these cool memes. Si tienen más memes, send them to @conmigente. We love politics. Y nos encanta entender política a través de los memes. Así que send them over. Y yo creo que con eso terminamos, Corillo. Any last thoughts? Any last comments?
Thank you, DJ Sizzle and Bulmaro, for joining us. This was so much fun.
Yes, thank you so much for joining este live episode del Calentón. Remember, to all the folks who are listening in, to recruit more activists, organizers, family, friends, todo el mundo cabe en esta casa política en mi gente, visit mijente.net/join, and see you in the next episode del Calentón. Y como diría Cynthia, que no está aquí, no dejes que se apague. Bye.
Bye.